Hello, and welcome to the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. I'm Robert Dott, editor of ChannelBuzz.ca, and as always, your host for the show. When it comes to hiring people, it's a jungle out there. I think we've all seen the stories of business owners looking for people to work jobs at restaurants, bars, stores, anywhere really, and simply not having people apply. While the game's a little different for MSPs, the same pressure of less talent and more competition for the talent that is out there is making it harder than ever for solution providers to find the people they need to run and grow their businesses. Today we tackle these issues with Michael Slater, Director of Presales and Partner Enablement at SureWeb. We talk about his experience in retaining and hiring staff during the pandemic, and what he's hearing from MSPs about their challenges with talent. We talk about why MSPs need to be looking for talent in all the wrong, or at least all the unusual, places. We talk about why culture can be king in hiring and retaining the right people, and how smaller companies like many MSPs can have an edge over bigger players in presenting and promoting their culture. We talk about why you should be collecting resumes even if you aren't actively hiring today. We talk about where Slater sees all of these trends heading in the near future. And of course, we talk about what SureWeb is doing to help you and your fellow MSPs face down some of these challenges, both those of today and those of the near future. It's a great conversation, so let's get right into it. My chat with SureWeb's Michael Slater. Michael, thanks so much for taking the time. I appreciate you joining us.
Hey, Robert. Pleasure to be here.
So staffing and recruiting is an interesting topic. It feels like when I've talked to MSPs back in the days when one went to, you know, events and chatted with folks around the bar and that, it was a challenging enough issue, especially when you got into, got really into the weeds of, you know, the best technical people and that sort of thing. Pre-pandemic, I'm going to go ahead and presume things haven't necessarily gotten a whole lot easier as a result of the pandemic, but can you maybe share some of what you're seeing in front and hearing from your MSPs in terms of what they're facing and on staffing and recruiting?
Sure. I mean, I would say it's just gotten a whole lot worse, to be perfectly honest. If we're going to compare it to that classic bar conversation, and I recently did go to an event in the US, I could say that it, replicating that same experience you talked about, it's definitely gotten worse. There used to be a time period, I remember really early on when I used to deal with MSPs early in my career, the conversation was like, oh, you know, if you know anybody's little brother or little sister that's kind of good at computers and they want to get a great job that'll pay slightly more than fast food, but has a great career opportunity attached to it, let me know, right? So these guys, these would go out and find these, you know, talented, gifted young people, take them on as level one, you know, train them through the years, skill them up, and then eventually then it'd be the VP of operations 15 years later, right, at this mid-size MSP. And that was always the natural career path for so many of these different people. But now that's so much harder to do. You know, there's a labor shortage going on right now. And you're not just competing locally, you're competing internationally in some cases, especially if you're in Canada, right? Brain drain's always been an issue here. And now I think it's actually hit fever pitch, in my opinion, at least from the feedback I'm getting from people.
Well, I guess it's sort of the flip side of the great part of work from home, right? Is the great part of work from home is you can hire people from anywhere. The sad part of work from home, if you're the one trying to fill those roles, is that you've got to compete with everyone from everywhere who's also looking to hire from everywhere.
100% correct. And I find that now it's even gotten to the point where the small town, you know, North America used to be almost sacrosanct, right? You can go and just find, you know, pretty much anybody, and you find that one gem off the street. But now that gem is on Indeed every day, getting hit by the same localized ads by the same companies, maybe even the same vendors that you deal business with, right, that are also looking for talent. It's crazy how much that's changed in just like, you know, 18 months, where, you know, these companies that were very anti-work from home are now starting to approach the idea to an extent.
Yeah, or have been forced to be, even if they aren't necessarily in favor of it.
But very true, that as well.
Yeah. So, curious what you're seeing working, or what you're hearing about working from your MSPs in terms of actually getting people and sort of getting that motion going in the current environment.
Yeah, I mean, what it comes down to is I find, and again, I'll just talk a little bit about how I've been successful. It's really been from going to unusual places. So a big factor is, again, what people used to do, hiring is a very personal thing, especially for a lot of small business owners. Maybe you throw up an Indeed, maybe you put up the money for a LinkedIn post if you were like a mid-size MSP. But now kind of what's happening is that you're going out into the market to be successful. You have to look in different places. So even on the vendor distributor side, you know, normally we'd open up jobs and we get quite a few applicants, you know, 40, 50 a role. We generally have the fortunate ability to post a lot of jobs on LinkedIn. I remember at one point SherwoodCorp had 200 something jobs in there during the pandemic trying to fill, right? Which, you know, for a Canadian company is quite a bit. But it's competitive out there. It's hard to apply. Even very lucrative jobs, we're getting maybe four or five people to apply to at max. When, you know, a year ago, we get 20 to 30. So what we decided was, you know, if we're facing this issue, I wonder what the MSPs are facing too. Mm. So again, what I'm a big advocate of doing is going to unusual places, which is the way that I say it. Some stuff works well. So for example, going to communities, that's a big thing. Reddit, our MSP, is like a great place if you're an MSP wanting to find some maybe disgruntled workers in a remote context, right? Because again, there's a lot of people involved, owner operators, technicians, system engineers, operations folks, security specialists, everything is available here. So I really say that going outside and above what you normally do and looking at the other places you might look at is a great idea. Professional organizations, right? Mm-hmm. So for example, in my case, I'm part of a group called Pre-Sales Leadership Collective. So I get to see jobs that are posted. I can see people are looking for work. I go into my professional industry. So if you're a shop, let's say you specialize in web development as part of your MSP, which some do, go to GitHub and try to find people looking for work. Like, you really have to take it to the next level and really start being creative and going to people. A crazy thing I heard now is that even some companies are now paying people to show up at job interviews. So for example, if you're a software developer, you're getting $500 just to come. Pitch yourself, don't even get the job, they'll still give you money for your time. Like, that's crazy to think about. Like, I never had that experience, you know, Rob, I don't know about you, but no one ever paid me to show up for a job interview.
No, people generally pay me to stay away from job interviews.
So. Yeah, that happens.
And what you just, you know, you describe a situation where it sounds like to get the right people, you kind of have to go the extra mile, do the extra work, especially for smaller MSPs, though. That's a challenge when it's, you know, generally, I believe in a lot of cases, the hiring manager is also the owner, operations chief, sometimes marketing person, and any other number of roles.
So I'd say that for the most part, what I advise for people in that space is, you know, as the old saying goes, control what you can control, right? And let go of things that you can't. Right. So the market reality is something that you just have to deal with, right? It is ultra competitive. Everybody is looking for talent and there's a shortage of it, right? Some people say it's a wage shortage. Some people say it's a labor shortage. You know, that's up to interpretation. What I can tell you is the environment you're in is extremely competitive. So my advice to these people is always, well, focus on the things you can control. Make sure that you represent your culture of your company very well, right? So a lot of bigger companies kind of suffer in this ability because they can't really explain the culture of their company, especially in a remote context. So having good brand, having good culture, you know, posting frequently on social media, advertising some of the stuff you do, like, hey, you know how you guys had that company-wide employee appreciation barbecue event? Post that up there. You bought them drinks on Friday? Post that up there. Big companies won't even buy their employees beverages, right? Due to legal liability. So take advantage of your size, right? And kind of do these things that you could do that other people can't. Another thing is focusing on referrals. So a basic thing you can do is get your employees to help you find talent. So what that I always say is, you know, offer them $500 for a hired head. Say, if I hire somebody successfully, they stay for 6 months, I'll give you $500, just money, I'll give it to you in gift cards. I'll give it to you in any way you want, right? Just get somebody in the door and we'll get them in. Very effective tool, right? Because you incentivize your own team to evangelize your company, which is a great idea. Something else to tip is, just because you don't need to hire right now, keep on getting CVs. So something that I've learned too as well when I've had to hire during the pandemic is that because there's a reduced amount of people out there per job available, you need to constantly be recruiting. So have a job post open, throw something up on Indeed. And if you even get the slight inclination you might need to hire, Let's say that you have a big contract that you're about to sign. You think that somebody might retire soon, right? For whatever reason it might be, to be prepared and have those networks available already pulling in potential people for you. Because again, it's passive. It doesn't take any work to just collect CVs, right? And the last thing I would say, what's really key for these kind of owner operators, is just make work from home a standard. I mean, it saves you ton of money from an operational cost. But big companies, like, I'm not sure if anybody else heard this, but Apple was trying to force people back in the office like 3 days a week. And that caused a tremendous amount of like frustration from the employees there, right? So bigger companies, I know JP Morgan's doing the same thing. And a lot of other companies are kind of trying to move back to the old way. And I don't think that's possible. And I think that a lot of the best talent in technology will want to stay remote for a long time.
I think you're right, especially given, both the demand for those roles and the skill sets that are typically brought to bear are generally things that can be a lot of them could be done fairly well, fairly effectively, fairly manageably from home. So, hey, why not? I'm a longtime work from home person, so I can I have to admit my bias on that front. You shared a few times kind of some of your experiences in hiring over the course of the pandemic. What else can you tell me in terms of the experience you've had and what you've learned from the hiring and that whole process during the course of the pandemic?
Yeah, I definitely say that kind of what I've had to do is, you know, reach out to a wider base of candidates, especially in what technical work that we do, you know? So the traditional role has been, well, you know, I'm going to wait until people reach out to me. You know, I'm only going to hire people if I'm not hiring that level one guy we discussed, or that family friend, right? The historical MSP level one hire method, right? Find someone's nephew. You know, that doesn't work. You know, I used to just post for an engineer, put a job up. They would come to me when I was busy. I'd have the luxury of going through, you know, 30 or 40 candidates, picking the best one, giving them a skill test interview, and, you know, interviewing them 15, 16 times to see if they're going to get the job. And I realize everybody does that. And that's actually a good thing, because people do not have the patience for that. There's just simply too many jobs. Everybody that you talk to will be interviewing at several different places during the time they're talking to you. So what I advise to people is, you know, don't be afraid to make the first outreach. You know, even our own HR department at SureWeb prefers that we talk to candidates we know are actively looking. I've broken that rule a million times. So one of my first things has been, go out there, make the first gesture and talk to the person that you want, right? You'd be surprised how many people are just open to having a conversation if you just show interest in who they are. It doesn't have to be complex. You don't have to send them the job posting. The first thing you could do is have a brief interview that just is culture fit, right? How do they sound on the phone? Do you feel like their personality would be a fit for yourself, for your other co-owners, for the rest of your team if you have other people working with you? And that culture fit interview can reveal so much more information, right? So instead of just hiring for the right skills, which in my opinion, for the most part, can be taught, well, personality is much harder to change, right? Unless somebody really wants to. So my advice is to get out there, make the first contact, do that culture fit interview, and make that a priority for everything that you do. The technical stuff can be evaluated. And in many places, you have a 3-month trial period, right, for new employees. And you can figure out very quickly when they're on the queue what they know and what they don't know, right, with very minimal risk to yourself. But again, personality is a key thing. And it's really hard to fake having a good one, at least if you do your interview correctly. Another thing I would suggest too is invest in personality tests. Try to figure out who's on your team right now. Because again, certain personalities will mesh together. And there's a lot of free ones you could do, right? There's some paid ones like the NPO, which is a talent insight program that we use at SureWeb, for example. And it's deadly accurate to everybody we put that on, right? So I know, for example, myself as an extroverted leader, I need to hire introverted, detail-oriented people to offset what I do. I'm results, I'm money in the door. So when I hire my technical people, I really look for more introverted people that have a deep understanding, I would say, of the ecosphere and the ability to communicate their ideas. So I tend to hire to balance out my weaknesses as a leader, and I advise any MSP does the same thing.
All right. That makes sense to me. Absolutely. Organizations like SureWeb, you guys have talked for a long time about kind of the role that you guys play in filling out the bench and supporting partners as they grow, those sorts of things. How are you guys changing what you're doing in terms of supports to partners as they're having these troubles, ramping up, keeping staff and growing that way?
Yeah, great question, Rob. So for us, you kind of realize this has happened, right? So over that, say, the first part of the pandemic, we kind of saw the writing on the wall. Because what happened is all these in-demand skill sets, security engineers, right? IaaS engineers, right? Everybody involved in what I call remote desktop or remote working or modern workplace, as Microsoft calls it, productivity in the cloud skyrocketed, right? So, you know, Teams utilization went up like 1,000% over a period of a couple of months. And it was insane. This was such a crazy world we're living in. So these hiring in these positions became critical, but no one was able to kind of do it. And it became critical beyond, I would say, not just the standard way a partner engages with pre-sales, which is usually just the opportunity motion, you know? You go to your vendor, you say, hey, Mr. Vendor, I have a problem. Can you come and help me out? Here's the opportunity. Make me a quote and I'll ship it, right? What we realize is people need more than that, especially MSPs that are very busy. They need enablement, right? They need somebody that can help them position a product, somebody that can give them the first 10 feet of any conversation on a product to make them dangerous, to make them articulate in the business challenge that is coming from COVID, right? You know, because you have people that only did on-prem servers with on-prem licensing. So how do we take you quickly in 3 months from only operating in that world to being cloud mature in the shortest time period possible? That's enablement. That's the secret here. So I think I found what the biggest thing was, making sure we had the enablement stuff set up. So we did hire the security experts. We did hire an Azure expert from Microsoft, right? Mm-hmm. We did have this whole setup so we can take you from, I know nothing about cloud and I just have, you know, volume licensing for on-prem servers, to we can make you a cloud expert in a period of just a couple of months. So that really was the primary focus of what we're trying to do. And I think we achieved that because partners do need a hand. The technology changes so fast. I mean, what I always tell people is, you know, Microsoft doesn't even make books anymore for the stuff that they teach you. Like, you used to be able to go to the section of, you know, self-improvement and you'd see Microsoft Server, you know, how to be a wizard guide, right? You'd see the book by all these kind of different MSPs. You know, but again, took their experience and turned into book format. A lot of people have done that. That bookshelf at the store is empty now. It doesn't exist because the technology changes so quickly. Microsoft doesn't even bother printing the book now. The idea is that you have to go online and keep tabs, and that's hard for people to do. So that's why you need to make sure then what you offer a partner, you include that. So it's not just the opportunity motion, it's the enablement motion too. And that's why I think is really something that pre-sales does help partners with.
All right. What are you thinking, predicting, you know, I'm looking to crystal ball maybe a little bit here. What are you expecting? How are you expecting to see these trends evolve over the near future, say the balance of the year?
So for me, I think there's going to be two different realities. So I think reality number one is that there's going to be two games to be played. So the first game is going to be the retention game. So if you're a larger MSP, and you're trying to keep people, I think that that's going to be one of your biggest challenges. Because again, historically speaking, the skills that you're teaching are going to be in demand. The demand is going to increase. So right now, larger companies, Fortune 500s, you know, big enterprise, they're largely targeting people with university degrees, right, that have a certain amount of experience and that are available for this. What's going to happen is they're already running out of those people, right? Amazon is a great example, right? They're going into territories and hiring people, and they're paying people that do sales jobs, even that, again, if you have a salesperson and return MSP that sells your IaaS offering, they're offering that person the same job at AWS for $300,000, $400,000 USD a year now. So, and again, they're requiring a university degree for now, but what's going to happen when that floodgate opens, right? And they start going into talent and they start realizing that there are all these MSPs everywhere that have all this great talent that have been working there for 10 or 20 years. It's going to start to get competitive. So that's where now I think you need to work on your culture, you need to work on your retention game, right? Are your employees happy? Do they feel fulfilled? Do they have a career path? So I think that's the first thing we're going to see, is that I think that a lot of the smaller partners are going to start to be poached, I think, by larger folks, right? Due to this labor shortage, I think it's going to be things going to affect them. Mm-hmm. I think inverse, smaller MSPs are going to have a much harder time finding younger talent. I think that, again, that recipe of success of hiring them young and you know, keeping them, retaining them for 10 or 20 years is going to be extremely hard to do. I feel like that time has kind of come and gone. I feel especially with social media, with Zoomers and millennials, you know, kind of entering the dominant place in the workforce, their expectations are so different, right? They're not really necessarily motivated by money. I would say like the younger generations where money is a factor, but really it's about having meaningful work. So whatever you do and whatever you do as a leader of your business, you have to make sure you establish that meaning of what they do. It's no longer just I have to pay the rent. is I want to pay the rent and I want to contribute to something larger. Now, it doesn't have to be necessarily, you know, the most socially conscious objective that your business has, right? But you have to be working towards something and give that team that sense of fulfillment when they achieve these goals. And that, I think, is something that smaller MSPs are going to have a challenge with, because a lot of them don't even have goals necessarily. They just operate day to day, right? Because of how busy they are. So I think that'll be the other big trend we'll see, is smaller MSPs having a difficult time continuing to hire people, while larger MSPs will have a very hard time holding on to people in the face of the global demand for labor.
All right. And especially in light of that, what else do you see SureWeb doing in terms of the various supports, the enablement, the professional services, all the things that you make available to both help partners find and keep the right people, as well as, you know, fill those gaps when they are existent and a challenge in the business going forward?
I think the key thing we're going to have to do is we're going to have to continue to invest into, you know, three different things. Number one is having professional services, right? So expand the ability of what we could do. And it is on the docket, right? So for example, Sherb is gone. We've hired, or rather acquired, a different company by the name of GMS, so Global Mentoring Solutions. Mm-hmm. So what's great about them is, you know, from a support point of view, let's say that you do have techs and they are overworked. Do you really want them to be spending 40 or 50% of their day doing password resets? Maybe not, right? So you can outsource that work to Sure. We can do that for you. Very simple things like that, right? Partner up with us. We'll take a look at your infra. You know, with very, very limited set of requirements, we can work on almost any technology, right? So that's an enablement feature where we let you kind of focus on what you need to do. For another point is, like, you know, deployment support. So we're looking at adding brand new ways to enable partners to sell new products. So Teams Voice is very popular nowadays, right? Especially because of the pandemic boom. So we're looking at ways to offer onboarding services, right? We'll go in, match the extensions to the users, and kind of build you a PBX based in Teams instead of based in traditional VoIP product that SureWeb sells, and I'm sure lots of other people do too. So we can kind of give you that expertise, set it up for you, hand you the keys to the car, completely wrapped and ready to go, right? That's another great benefit. And the last thing we're going to do is continue to invest in our expertise. So I'm always on the lookout for more talent. And, you know, we really do try to be at the cutting edge. So if I can't hire somebody to do it, we're just going to buy somebody that can do the same effort, right? Mm-hmm. We are heavily invested. You know, MSPs are our business. They're our bread and butter. And I like to think we actually have a really good partner model where we do listen to what they need and we act on that feedback pretty consistently.
Well, and that's a place too where scale does play a big part, right? If you're an MSP, maybe you don't have the need for a full-time resource that's dedicated to some of these areas you're talking about, but you still need to be able to deliver on that periodically for your clients. And that's where working with someone like you guys can help, because you've got the scale to do that.
Of course. And that's the nature of our entire program, right? That's what we try to do, is that scale piece. So what I think really does make us really quite good is that, you know, our program is all white label. So you can add scale very easily. You know, the support aspect can be white label, the professional services aspect can be white label. Pretty much everything we can do and just, you know, provide the missing pieces, right? It's the way that I look at it. So you can look at us again as like a stopgap, right? So if you can't hire people, but you do want to grow and eventually, you know, make your own business as completely self-reliant, you can do that, right? We have all these different levels of partnership, all these different opportunities. I'd say most of our partnerships are even customized, right? Some people use a lot of pre-sales. Some people use very little. Some people use a lot of support partnership, right? Without sourcing it to us, some people use very little. Some people use ProServe in every opportunity. Some just learn to do it themselves. So there really is a gradient that you can achieve, right? So that's why I say, even outside of SureWeb, which, you know, I guess the goal of the conversation today, but I say with every vendor you deal with, you should always ask them, you know, am I just buying a product from you? Do we have a commoditized relationship? Mm-hmm. Or is there value you provide to this on top of what I buy? And if your cloud distributor isn't doing that, or your vendor isn't doing that, it's time to look at another vendor, in my opinion, because either boat that you're in, what I said earlier, if you're in the trying to build my business boat or trying to retain my people boat, both of them require enablement, right? So that's what you need to kind of pick and choose and be very picky with your vendors and push them to be better.
All right. Brilliant. Where can I go as an MSP to learn a bit more about what you guys bring to bear and how you can help me with some of these challenges?
Awesome. So sure.com is a great way to start. Sign up. go through the process. It's really easy. It's a couple of clicks and some button pushes, and you can go in. Again, it's free. There's no minimums, no quotas. So you can just log in, take a look at our product offering, see what it works, talk to an account manager. At that point, we're more than happy to onboard. And again, I can start offering certain pre-sale services from my side with no fees up front, no transaction, just out of good faith, right? We'll have the conversation with you about your infrastructure projects, about your security projects, about all these different things you have, and really pick the right solution that works for you. So that's my call to action, as it were, is just go on the website, sign up, and have that first 30-minute conversation and see if you like us. I think you will.
All right, perfect. Thanks again for taking the time. Great conversation.
My pleasure. Thanks, Robert.
There you have it. A look at some of the staffing issues MSPs face today, courtesy of Michael Slater from SureWeb. I'd like to thank Michael for joining us for the podcast, thank SureWeb for their continuing support of the site, and of course, thank you for listening today. The ChannelBuzz.ca podcast will be back in your podcast player next week. If you've got a moment, please do follow or subscribe to the show to make sure you don't miss anything. If you've got another moment, maybe consider leaving us a rating in your podcast app of choice. Got a third moment? Well, how about a quick review to let us know how we're doing and help others find the show? We'd really appreciate it. Until next we meet here in your podcatcher of choice, I'm Robert Dutt for ChannelBuzz.ca. Stay safe out there, and I'll see you around the channel.